It's real open in the book of John, chapter 14. And then we'll ask the Lord to help us with the message. So, John, chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity to come here and hear of it, Lord, and that if we come with open hearts, Lord, and ready to listen, that you will sanctify us by it, Lord, and that you will help us to know you more and more, and that we will grow in your truth and have your peace and joy. And Father, we pray that the knowledge of your Holy Spirit would bring us comfort, Father, and that he would lead us always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ever since becoming a Christian, as my interest in the Word of God has grown and I've continued in private study, I found that it's been characterized by questioning, not questions in the skeptical sense, in the critical sense, but I ask questions of the Word. There's things that I want answers to. So if I had a hunger for things to be explained to me, because the Word is just so rich and full that there's so much to know, you can only feel that you're touching the tip of the iceberg, as it were. Now, I can't possibly hope to know it all and keep every detail in remembrance, but I want as many of my questions answered as possible. And I don't want to take anything for granted. Recently in my study, a question came up pertaining to Scripture that I wanted an answer to. And that led into another question and line of study and so on. And I believe this is how the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, as we see in John chapter 16, verse 7 to 15. This is the Lord speaking of the Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. These verses refer explicitly to the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit, of course. We can see that in Scripture whenever there's a capital S. It's indicating the Holy Spirit. He is a person. Jesus refers to him with a male pronoun, he. He's a person, not a force or some kind of energy. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us into greater revelation. And as Christ said, his focus isn't on himself, as we read in verse 13 of that chapter, but rather his focus is to help us to gain greater and greater revelation of Christ. Now, we gain greater and greater revelation of Christ through better understanding of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Bible to make things clear to us. And he explains the meaning of the text so that we can learn about Jesus. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 35 for a wonderful example of the Holy Spirit at work doing just this. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Here we see a perfect example of the Holy Spirit's ministry. It is the Holy Spirit which empowers the believer, in this case it was Philip, to testify of Christ. In verse 29 we read the Spirit guided Philip to a witnessing opportunity. It wasn't Philip's own initiative that brought him to the eunuch. And have a look now at verse 31 of that scripture, Acts chapter 8. Now, the Ethiopian eunuch couldn't understand scripture without help from the Holy Spirit, who was operating within Philip. The only one who can reveal Christ is the Holy Spirit. It is his ministry on earth. It was why he was sent after Christ's ascension, after all. Now, the Holy Spirit tells the world about Christ. The Holy Spirit proclaims the good news. There is no believer anywhere who ever explained the gospel to anyone without the Holy Spirit helping them. And fallen, sinful man is blind to the truth of Scripture until he has the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit not only gave this power of the exposition of Scripture to believers, but gave them gifts of healing, tongues, and so on at the beginning of the church age to confirm what God had done in the Old Testament and what he'd said, so that people would understand that Christ had come and then the New Testament was finished. You can't testify of Jesus Christ. You can't speak about Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit. He indwells the believer. And when Jesus said to the disciples that the Spirit would come speaking about him, he was saying that the Spirit would speak about him through you, through every believer. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables us. We are disabled without him. And he is also our comforter, as Christ said. When we are saved, the Spirit enters into us and lives in us. He comforts us by continually assuring us of our salvation. He affirms our faith with confidence in our justification before God. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 11 is our next scripture. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Spirit also lets us know that we are truly God's children. If we go down to verses 14 to 16, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Deep down, you know you're saved because you know you have believed on the name of Jesus Christ, of whom the Spirit testified. That's very, very comforting. This may be something we take for granted every day in our Christian walk, but the Holy Spirit is also our buffer against demonic possession. When we have God's Spirit living in us, another spirit cannot cohabitate. God and evil cannot share a tenancy. The indwelling of the Holy Ghost precludes demonic possession. If you think that's no big deal, let's turn now to Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 15, which recounts a demon-possessed man. Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a deep place, down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So this is the primary way that Satan controls people in the world, through unclean spirits. While God's Spirit guides us into life from within, evil spirits lead the unbeliever into death and self-destruction. Just consider the behavior of those swine after the demons had gotten into them. Right? Consider the behavior of the possessed man. He lived amid tombs and cut himself. This is not a healthy lifestyle. And the first thing the pigs did, of course, throw themselves off a cliff. Right? It's insanity. And there's nothing more to insanity than demon possession. The mind is a spiritual realm. What makes demon possession so frightening to people is that they can sense that there's a self-destructiveness about it. An insane person is going to behave in a way that hurts themselves and others around them. But Christ is the antidote. The moment the Gadarenes man sought out Jesus, even in his desperate state, his faith healed him. The Lord cast out the spirits. Now we'll turn to Luke chapter 11, verses 20 to 26. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. This is the Lord Jesus speaking of demon possession. And we'll compare that now to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 29. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Jesus is talking in the book of Luke about the same type of person as described by the Apostle Paul. That is, someone who has had some exposure to the Word of God, has received some revelation of gospel truth, so much so that it has sanctified them. They've cleaned up their act, superficially at least. And this is what Paul meant in 1 Corinthians 7:14, when he was speaking about an unbelieving spouse being sanctified by the marriage to a Christian. Not justified, mind, they mean two different things, but sanctified in the sense that a person married to a Christian is unlikely to sin as much as they would have once. If you've been in the church long enough and you know a bit about Christendom generally, the mere association someone might have with Christians, spending time with them or attending church regularly, being exposed to godly things on a regular basis, will have some influence on them. Jesus says that because the demon which had previously been evicted now finds the house empty, that is, the person who has turned over a new leaf, perhaps thanks to the sanctifying power of God's word, because the demon finds that person without any new tenant, he repossesses that person, and this time it's even worse for them than before. However, if a person has truly believed, if they add faith to repentance, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in them, they will be sealed under the day of redemption, saved. And that's the long and short of it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not saved. But for the believer, the Spirit of God has come to live within us, and this is the gift we as Christians in the church age are blessed with, whereas the saints of old could only look forward to the future reality of this indwelling. We'll close in 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Let's pray.